Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, Fusion Church. All right. And officially Freedom Friday. I'm going to say that again. Freedom Friday. I believe great things are going to be happening this weekend. You know, God is on the move. You know, a lot of you guys have been studying so hard and going through the freedom, including the leaders that have been doing these classes, and God has been touching lives. And now we come to the icing on the cake, Freedom Conference, you know. And so we know that the Lord is on the move. So, you know, be expecting. I'm going to say it again. Be expecting this weekend, you know, for what God is about to do. This morning, we are in Joshua 5. It's not a very big, long chapter, but it's a very, very good chapter. Very good chapter. I got about 8 sheets of paper of notes. You know, the more I look into it, the more God wants to give. And I said, I got to cut this back a little bit. But, you know, I'm going to share with you the best I can. Okay, so let's get into the word. Joshua chapter 5. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this is the day that you have made, Father. I thank you, my Lord God, that especially this day that it is Freedom Friday and it's officially the Freedom Conference, my Lord God, starts tonight. I pray, Lord God, that you will have your way with all the ones, all the participants, all the leaders, Father, that you will move in a supernatural way, Father, that you will meet them where they're at, Father. I thank you for the healing, the restoration, the peace, the joy, Father. All that's going to come about from this particular conference, Father, that you will just fill that place with your presence, Father. Let the healing continue to take place, my Lord. We thank you for your word for today, Father God. Let it be you and not me. Father, do what you want, Father. Have it your way, Lord God. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I'm a little excited here. All right, Joshua chapter 5. And the word of God starts. So it was when the kings of the Ammonites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their hearts melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So that Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on their way after they have come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war had come out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers that he will give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. 8. So it was, when they have finished circumcising all the people, that they have stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped at Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. They ate of the produce of the land on the day after Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they have eaten the produce of the land, and the children ate the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite of him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or our adversaries? And he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come now. Then Joshua fell at his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen and amen. All right. It's a short chapter, but there's so much in here. There's so much here. I like to mention the book of Joshua. You know, the author is not identified for this particular book. The purpose of the book, pretty much, it was the commission of a new leader. That was Joshua, because he succeeded Moses. You know, and that's found in Deuteronomy 31:7 and also in Numbers 27:18. So, you know, verse 1, it just starts off, you know, so that the kings of the Ammonites, you know, who were on the west side of Jordan, and the kings of the Canaanites, you know, that they were by the sea, when they heard what took place, when they heard that the ground was dry after of Jordan as the people crossed over, it says there that their hearts melted. When they heard the testimony, come on, when they heard the testimony of what God had done for the people of Israel, their hearts melted. It says there that they had no spirit any longer in them. That means that they had no desire. They had no will, you know, to do anything, you know, so they were afraid. You know, when God does something great for his people, he has a lasting effect, you know, on the individual who received the blessing, because that becomes part of our testimony, but also on the ones who may not care for us, the ones who don't like us. They might be jealous, or they might be talking, but it does affect everyone. And here we see that the kings, you know, the Ammonites, the king of the Canaanites, you know, they were afraid. They their hearts melted. They had no desire to move, you know, against Israel at the time. You know, and Joshua, you know, just to get a little bit of background information, in Joshua 1:1-2, it said, this is when Joshua was going to take office. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Go over, you know, this Jordan, you know, to the people, you know, at the, so he's telling you're going to go over. You're going to go over to the Jordan. And in Joshua 3:13, and it says, and it shall come to pass that as soon as your soles of the feet of the priests touch the and that who are carrying the ark of the Lord, you know, as soon as their feet touched that water, you know, the water is going to cease. The water is going to cease. And then in Joshua 3:17, it says, then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, it stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over to dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over. You know, so the enemy heard this testimony. Their enemies heard what happened, and they were afraid. In Numbers 15, verse 14, it says, the people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of the Philistines. So when the enemy hears what God is doing, he is afraid. When they hear what God is doing, when the enemy hears what God is doing, he is afraid. You know, I always think, you know, that if nothing is happening in my life, I must be doing something wrong. Oh, because I'm not doing what, because if I was doing the will of God, the enemy is going to be upset. The enemy always wants to be attacking. The enemy always wants to be doing something. But here we see that the enemy here was afraid because of what the Lord has done. So if the Lord has called you, if you have a calling in your life and things are not working out, you know, the way that you may think, don't be afraid, because God's already working it out for you. God was already working it out. And here we see what God was doing, you know, by this miracle, by performing this great miracle, he was also preparing Israel for a closer walk with him by doing this particular miracle. In verse 2, it says, at the time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and for circumcise the children of Israel. So he's telling him, you know, you're gonna make this flint knives, and I want you guys to circumcise the men of Israel. And so sometimes God calls us that we have to let go of something. We have to cut something away. We have to let go of something before we can go into the next season, before we can walk into the victory. Before that time comes, sometimes God wants to strip off of certain things because he doesn't want you to carry that to the next season. And that's what he was doing here. He was preparing the children of Israel for the next move, for the next move. And sometimes in order for us to receive that victory, we're going to go through some stuff. Come on now. Who here has not been going through stuff? We all have been going through one kind of stuff or another, one kind of difficulty or another. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's circumstances, but sometimes God is telling us, you know, get ready. I'm about to do something. So we need to be ready. And sometimes the Lord is telling us, you need to leave something behind. You need to let go. You need to forgive, you know, you need to move on from where you're at. You need to fix this in your life before this breakthrough is going to happen. And here we see that God was already preparing the children of Israel. It says, you know, in this chapter, you know, Israel has sinned. The men have not followed God's calling. You know, so they were going to die in the desert. They were going to die in the desert after, you know, 40 years. In verse 6, it says, the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. They walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war, who came out of Egypt at the time, you know, were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. They refused to go to the promised land, you know, that God had promised them. You know, why? Because they were afraid. Why? Because they didn't believe God was going to help them in that land. They saw the obstacle and they refused to go forward. So they disobeyed God, you know, you know, and then you hear his voice. He says, whom the Lord swore that he will show them the land, you know, that he was going to give their fathers, land flowing with milk and honey. You know, so in other words, you know, in order for the new generation to enter this promised land, the old had to be left behind. The old have to be left behind, you know, and the old, and I'm going to add, old thinking has to be left behind sometimes, you know, because God is always growing us. God is always progressing us forward. It says in Numbers 14:33, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. So it's talking about that the sons, you know, are going to be there until the old generation passes. And because the old generation, they disobey God. So God was ready to do a new thing. So he was going to strip away. He was going to cut away all the old stuff that has happened and start fresh. In verse 7, it says, then Joshua circumcised the sons, you know, whom he raised up, you know, for they were uncircumcised. So pretty much they didn't carry the tradition that started with their fathers, you know, with the covenant that they had with the Lord, that they were going to be circumcised. So that stopped it, you know, in the desert after they left Egypt, you know, they didn't continue it. So here God was reminding them. God was going to bring him back. It says in Genesis 17:10, it says, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants. So there was something they were supposed to have been doing. After you, every male among you shall be circumcised. Because their fathers did not obey the law, there was a separation between them and God. You know, so here God was getting ready to do a new thing. Here God was going to do a new thing for them, and it's going to go into this circumcision that he's talking about. You know, at one point, you know, I would like to say that you know, when God calls us, he will make a way for us. You know, he will make it right for us. So he has called these individuals, you know, that they were not circumcised, and now he's telling them that they would. You know, they would need, and also if you're going to get circumcised, you're going to need some time to heal up. It's not like a little cut. Come on now. It's not like a little cut. You know, you didn't scratch yourself. You know, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. You need time to heal up. You know, you're going to become weak. You're going to be in pain, and you're going to be open to an attack. You're going to be open to an attack. Don't forget that they were not in their land yet. Don't forget that they had enemies around them. So here, this is why this particular miracle, you know, of Israel walking through the Jordan on dry ground, you know, it serves as two things. One, it shows that God's provision for his people by making a way, you know, through the Jordan, making a way through the Jordan. They were able to cross on dry ground. That was a miracle. That was a miracle, but that also caused fear for the enemy. Number two, you know, making Israel's enemy afraid of them because of God's greatness. God's greatness. So here in verse 8, it says, so it was when they have finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. So they have to go through a time of healing. You know, this would have been the perfect time for the enemy to attack them. This would have been the perfect time, you know, for them to be taken over. But what happened? Because that God caused them to fear, to fear the miracle that he did for Israel. You know, they heard about it. And they say, oh, this is a fierce God. They stayed away. They could attack Israel. And that's the reason why sometimes God allows certain things to occur to us in our life, because what's going to come next. So this particular miracle that he did for Israel was also a miracle by keeping the enemy away. If you're going through something, God is going to make a way. Your healing is about to take place. Your healing is about to take place. And that's what was going to be happening here. They needed a time to heal, and God brought the provision of healing. He made a way. He made a way. And guess what? They didn't have to fight. They were all circumcised. And this is all the men. All the men. So the only people that were going to be doing anything was going to be the women. You know, it was going to be the women. So if they were attacked, you know, ain't no way. Ain't no way. But God made a way. God made a way, you know, and sometimes God is allowing us to grow to certain things because he wants us to open up our eyes and see what is holding me back. What can be possibly holding me back? What do I need to let go before I go into this new season? You know, so if you're going through something today, if you're going through something difficult today, you know, it is time that you just, like I say in the military, you know, strap out the boots. It's time to march forward. It's not time to quit. It's time for us to go forward. It's time for us to march forward. Because guess what? As we march forward in the Lord, he's going to make a way, just like he did here for Israel. He made a way that their enemy was too afraid to do anything, and there was no war. And that was a perfect opportunity for them to attack, and they did it, you know. And it says in verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place shall be called Gilgal to this day. That particular word means a circle, and as a noun. And also it means to roll, you know, as a verb, you know. So here, God was just turning things around. You know, they come a complete circle, you know, because why? Because they were in the desert. They couldn't go through, you know, 40 years they were there. And guess what? And now was the time for the blessing. Or the old generation that didn't obey, you know, they already passed away, you know. So this new generation, because they follow the covenant and been circumcised, they were now able to enter the promised land. They were now able to enter the promised land, but they had to do certain things. They had to do certain things, you know. And my thing is what is God telling us what to do? What is what God telling us to do? You know, and sometimes he's telling us to do certain things, and we need to make sure that we are obedient, you know, and follow what he has called us to be. And that's why this generation, you know, was ready at this particular time, because they obeyed. They went through the circumcision, you know. And for us, what is it that we need to cut away? What is it that we need to cut away? Only you can answer that question. That's between you and God. I'm just here to remind you. I'm just here to put the word out there that there could be something. There could be something. And sometimes, because we don't understand why things happen. And sometimes when negative things happen, you know, say, Lord, but I know that every time something happens in my life, God is trying to get my attention for something, you know, or I'm being tested some way. And I say, oh God, here we go again. Here we go again. And, you know, and here in the Hernandez clan, something is always taking place. You know, we're always in the battle. And I'm going to say that, you know, my wife, you know, she ended up in the ER. Just yesterday, because her blood sugars dropped. I couldn't get no response. So I went through a little turmoil. I went like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? Because you know, when you try everything that you can do, and sometimes there's nothing else you can do, you gotta go like this and wave the white flag and say, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. What am I gonna do? And I end up calling the ambulance, and they came, they picked her up, and you know, went to the hospital. And right now she's still in the hospital. They got the blood sugars where they need to be. They just have to tailor in some medication and with a specialist and all that. All that is taking place. So here I am. I want to get my lesson plan going, you know, and I want to, because I love talking to you guys, and here my wife is in ends up in the hospital, you know, and going through all of this. And sometimes, you know, when we go through stuff like that, we can lose focus. We can lose focus and say, you know, why God? Why is this another storm? I don't know why, but I know that my dependency on God continues to remain strong, because when I cannot do anything, my hands go up and say, Lord, it's up to you. You do what you need to do and help me to be obedient. Help me to hold on to your promise. Help me not to waver, because, you know, even as a leader, you know, we go through stuff, we go through things. And sometimes, you know, we might be questioning it. So I learned to, okay, my wife likes the verse, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You know, and I have it, that's plastered in our bedroom. She has a big plaque like this, be still and know that I am God. That's her favorite verse. God brings that to my memory. At the same time, and be still, know that I am God. So whatever has to take place is taking place. We're being stretched. We're being pulled in different directions. But guess what? Who is the one that holds us in the palm of his hands? That is the Lord. That is the Lord. We are the clay. You know, he is the potter, and he is molding us. And sometimes in their molding situation, just like Israel, they have to go through this process. They have to go through the circumcision. They have to, you know, cut these things away. We go through stuff. And sometimes God wants to cut certain things away. Why? Because he's making you sharper. He's making you to that person that he created you to be. We are a work in progress. All of us, even me without no hair, I am work in progress. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. You know, I go through my stuff. But one that remains the same all the time, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has us. He has us. So I believe in healing. I believe and it's hard to teach on healing when you're going through healing issues. You know what I mean? It's hard to say God can move in your life when your life, yourself, come on, let's be real. When our life, we're not seeing it all. We're not seeing it all. But guess what? He's still there. He's still sustaining us. He's still holding us. Because if he wasn't for the Lord, I would have lost a long time ago. I'm a baby when it comes to the God's presence and crying and all that. I'm a man, guess what? But I weep before the Lord. I worship God with tears in my eyes, you know, and when things happen, it hurts. Come on, it hurts. And sometimes, you know, we just got to go down and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I can't do this on my own, you know. And when we do that, you know, that's when his presence comes in and fills us. His presence comes in. His angels comes in, and because he says, I give my angels charge over you. They will take you by the right hand. They will hold you up. And sometimes, you know, we all need to be held up. Sometimes, you know, I'm a hugger. And I hug everybody. And you guys know that. I like to hug. I like to kiss you. You know, that's just who I am. That's just who I am. But guess what? Sometimes even the huggers need to be hugged. And sometimes you may find yourself that you are by yourself. Guess what? Just go like that and say, Lord, I thank you because you are with me and you hug me and you encourage me. Because sometimes me as a leader, I'm the one here. I was the only one with my wife trying to get her, you know, situated and praying and saying, Lord, not understanding, what can I do? What can I do? And I'm praying and I'm not seeing nothing. And that's what our faith is stretched, you know, that's what our faith is stretched. But we got to continue and we cannot stop because God knows. God knows what he's doing. There's a reason for everything. And who knows that for such a time as this, this is what this is happening. For such a time that you're going to be talking to somebody or ministering to somebody or whispering for somebody. All I know is that I believe and the Redeemer, the Healer, the Restorer, the God of second chances, the God that's turning things around. That's who I believe. The God of the supernatural, the God of the breakthrough, the God that says, you can do this because I am with you, because I have never let you go. I hold you in the palm of my hand. You are mine, says the Lord. And I am doing this in your life. And I'm about to turn it around. That's a word for somebody. I'm about to turn this situation around. Hallelujah. And it's going to change. It's going to change. Those people that you've been praying for, they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Healing is coming. It's coming. Yes, and I'm saying this, and I'm going through my battles. But you know what? I got a call that Hebrews 11 says, calling those things that are not as they should be, as you are calling, you're calling life. You're speaking life. And I said, Lord, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for healing. I thank you for the joy of the Lord is my strength. So therefore, I have to rejoice. Come on. Well, I have to rejoice in the middle of the crisis. I have to be able to praise him and lift up my hands and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, because you're working it out. You're working it out. You're working it out. Despite what I hear, despite what I'm seeing, despite what I'm feeling, God is working it out, you know, and that's what he did. He did for Israel. You know, he didn't forget about Israel. They were in the desert for 40 years. But guess what? God's plan of redemption, that God's plan of healing, of restoration was there, that he caused them to walk on dry ground. And not only that, that caused the enemy to flee. That caused the enemy to flee. So they had their time to heal. So no matter what you're going through, God is in control. God is in control. You're not alone. You're not forsaken. You're not abandoned. He's still in control. He has you in the palm of his hands, just like he did Israel, just like he did for his people. That after all everything was said and done, you know, he says that they were able to cross the Jordan. They came to the land, and guess what? And they were able to eat of the land. They were able to rejoice of the land. The promise that he made way back there, 40 years ago, you know, that promise that they could have, now they're having it, because now the people were ready. Now the people, the men were circumcised, they were being obedient, they were keeping the covenant, they were coming back to the Lord, and the Lord said, because you are obeying me, I am performing this miracle, you know, I'm giving you the land full of milk and honey, and that is what God is saying this morning. I am about to pour upon you a blessing that you cannot even hold, because it's going to be so much that it's going to be an overflow. There's going to be an overflow in your life. That way you can meet the needs of others. That way you can meet the needs of your family. You know, that overflow is going to be that when you walk someplace, the presence of God is going to be so much on you. And for you, it's nothing new. But for the person that's around you that needs a touch of God, they're going to receive an impact from you because of the presence of God, that anointing of God, that presence of God that is in you is going to fall on them. That's what I believe. That's what I'm expecting, because our God is so good. He's so wonderful. He didn't brought us this far just to let us go. His plan is going to be fulfilled, and he is fulfilling it. And guess what, my brothers and sisters, as we get ready for this, you know, Freedom Weekend that you guys are all, a lot of you guys are involved with, unfortunately, I can't be there this weekend. I'm taking care of mom. You know, I got to go get her today, bring her home. You know, she, you know, that's first ministry. You know me, I've always preached first ministry. It's family. First ministry is home. But you know what? I'll be there next time. I'll be there next time, because next time she's going to be fine. Next time she's going to be fine. But you know what? God is doing a miracle. He's doing a miracle in us. He's doing a miracle in you guys. You know, the blessings are there. Whatever it is that you've been dealing with, the breakthrough is right there. I believe there's going to be such supernatural breakthrough this weekend, and all these lives that are going to be there, healing and restoration, but not only on them, but also on marriages and on their children and the children's children. I believe that's what God is about to do. So my brothers and sisters, I pray you got something out of this today. I try to put it as much as I could, my word into it. Like I said, I had about 8 pages here of notes, you know, that God gave me, and that's only 8 in a couple of hours that I put together before the Lord, you know. And I was there last night sitting on my table, writing notes and all that. And then the Lord just downloads, and I just write, you know. But God, it's not only just for you guys, but it's also for me, because I take all of this and I eat it. I eat all this word. And I say, Lord, look at your provision. Look how faithful you are. That even in disobedience, you know, of your people, your hand is still extended to them. And you make a way. So God is making a way for you, my brother and sister. God is making a way for you. Just be grateful. I love when I can just praise God and worship God in the midst of the storm, in the midst of tears, in the midst of hurt. You know, when we go before the Lord, you know, he receives us, and then he looks at your heart, and he knows where your heart, when, you know, he looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outside. He looks at your heart. And then when your heart is crying out to him, he receives that, and he fills you, and he covers you, and he meets your need. So our God is on the move. I believe it. If it wasn't so, we wouldn't be going through what we're going through. The enemy is upset. The enemy's going to, and I'm not giving him any praise. I'm just saying that he is upset. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon. So therefore, whatever it is that you're going through, let's start worshiping God. Let's start praising God. Let's start giving God the glory and the honor. You know, let's proclaim the opposite of what the enemy wants to show you. Proclaim the opposite. You know, he wants me to be sad. Guess what? I'm going to have joy. I'm going to be dancing. My feet are underneath the computer, and I could be dancing. My wife is calling me. Yes, dear.
Hey, you're done?
I'm about to get done. I'm just about to pray, and they're hearing your voice right now. So it's great.
Oh, really?
It's great. You feeling good?
Yes, I am. Hello, everybody.
Can you hear her? Say it again.
Hello, everybody.
Yep,
hello.
They're all waving their hands. They're all waving their hands. I call you a little bit, baby. Love you.
Okay, love you.
Love you. Bye. Ask my wife. You know, she's calling me already. She's probably wondering, where are you at? No, we gotta meet with the doctors this morning. You know, talk over some things. But you know, she's doing good, you know what I mean? She loves the Lord. God is touching her. You know, she's been through a lot. You know, I see her strength, and that just brings tears to my eyes, because, you know, she's a strong woman of the Lord, and you know, she's being tested. Guess what? She's being tested. But, you know, she says, my Redeemer lives, you know, and I give him all the praise, and I give him all the glory, and he's in control. So again, my brothers and sisters, focus, keep your focus. The best is yet to come. Your breakthrough is so close, it's so near. Don't stop, but press forward in the Lord, you know, because your victory is right there. I know my time already expired. Yeah, I am really late. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this time that you have given us. I praise you. I worship you. I glorify you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for the miracle of life that we have through Christ Jesus. Thank you for being with us, for waking us up this morning. For all my brothers and sisters who've been listening and watching, Father, I pray that your blessings be upon them, that you would just encourage them, Holy Ghost, that you would just meet them where they're at. Thank you for this weekend, for Freedom Conference. Father, use the leaders, the speakers, Father. Use the participants, Father God, minister to their lives, Father. Let healing continue to take place in their hearts, in their minds, in their bodies, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, in advance for what you're going to do. Thank you for this day. I give you the praise and the glory, Father. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. You guys have a blessed weekend. Hopefully to see you soon. I'll keep you informed what's happening here. You know, the best is yet to come. Love you. Hugs and kisses. Soon I'll be able to hug all you guys. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.